and welcome back to my channel, or if you're listening on the podcast, welcome back to the Unleashed podcast. I'm super excited for today's episode. I'm going to be chatting about the metaphysical belief around pain, and I've always taken an approach to health that is less common. So I like looking into things that people don't often think about, and because there's so many health coaches and personal trainers and people doing nutrition plans who focus solely on what meets the eye or numbers that can be measured, I guess you can say, I love looking into the things that people don't often think about or things that people don't even realize are possible. I've been told a few things about this in the past, like when I broke my toe, I got told that means you need to slow down, and different areas in your body can mean different things in your life. So it's kind of like a spiritual way of looking at things. But before we get into it, I'll just go through a couple of housekeeping things and a little story about the doctors as well, just to elaborate on something after a complaint I got, I guess you could say. So first of all, if you hear a dog barking in the background, I apologize. The neighbor's dog has been barking literally across the street for literally 2 weeks straight, like all day, every day. And I've gone over to see what it is, and it's just in the yard, like barking at thin air. There'll be no one around. Even when I close all the windows and doors, it still doesn't even block it out. So I just wrote them a note last week and just said, hey, just letting you know, your dog's been barking all day at nothing, so I'm not sure if something's wrong, and just left it on the doorstep. And when I walked past at nighttime, he was actually out in the yard petting it and stuff. So I was like, oh, that makes me feel really good, because I don't know, it could have been like a health issue or something's up with the dog, and he was actually out there looking after it. So that made me happy. And then it hasn't stopped, and it's been so frustrating. I'm in the process of actually getting tested for ADHD, so I've got to go back to my second psychiatrist appointment. And if that's the case, like, I've always been a person that gets so annoyed at like any kind of background noise, like they're doing roadworks across the road and I keep hearing this digger be like ding 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 all day, and I'm like, oh, I can't block out the noise. And I try to put on lo-fi music, but then I can't concentrate on what I'm doing if there's like music playing. And yeah, I just wrote them another letter now. Like, I understand when people have to work full time and they're not home. So we didn't even know the dog was barking, so I definitely had sympathy for that. So I just said, like, maybe taking it for a morning walk will help get its energy out, or giving it a bone or some kind of toy for mental stimulation just to help when they're not home, kind of thing. So yeah, so if you hear that in the background, sorry about that. Hopefully it'll kind of ease off in the next week or so. Number two is that I've just opened up 8-week slots for one-to-one nutrition mentorship. So this is super exciting. It's not something I usually do. I've just been restructuring my whole entire business. I was doing group programs, and I used to do one-to-one appointments when I lived in Rockhampton. And of course, I've got my online plant-based recipe app, but I don't usually do like one-to-one ongoing coaching or mentorship. So there's only a handful of slots open, just to make sure that I can give the right attention to everyone required. And there'll be weekly check-ins, meal guidance, all that kind of thing. And it's not going off calories or macros, it's more helping people with intuitive eating and learning about their body signals and how to trust themselves again, and working through food intolerances or digestion and bloating, help with fueling yourself for exercise performance and things like that. So that is super exciting. If you're interested in that, I'll put all the relevant links below. And the third thing before we get into the video, I just wanted to touch on something with the doctors, because I've made a few videos recently where I've discussed my experience. Like, I had all these health issues, feeling like I was going to pass out for a week and a half. I just couldn't get out of bed. I would have like a 3-hour promo job at night, and I had to stay in bed the whole day just to get up to do a 3 hours of work. That's like completely abnormal. And I was just so out of it, and I didn't know why. And I'm so terrified of blood tests, but I managed to force myself to go and get it done. And I went back for the results, and the doctors just told me I'm fine, nothing's wrong. Both the doctors that I had, they were very frustrating, and the doctors weren't even putting in an effort. Like, the lady would just stare at her computer and mumble, like not even look at me to speak. So that was an issue. And then when I went for the results, the man I went to, yeah, he just told me like, oh, you're fine. Like, the results show nothing. You might have depression. And I'm going to him because I feel like I was gonna pass out for a week and a half. What's that got to do with depression? So I was putting a few rants online, like just saying how frustrating it frustrating it is that they just want to prescribe you some pills and they don't want to get to the bottom of the issue. And I put that in one of my email newsletters and had a response back from this guy saying, like, I can't tolerate someone who's putting down a whole industry. I'm actually in medical school, and he was quite offended by it. So I wanted to elaborate a little bit because I believe that the way we perceive things is obviously based on our own personal life experiences, and that can relate to anything in life. So when I was going through all my digestive issues and bloating before I went plant-based and before I even studied nutrition, I would go to hospital and they've never asked, are you intolerant to any foods? What's your lifestyle like? How often do you exercise? Do you know if you're lactose intolerant or sensitive to gluten? Have you ever done a food elimination diet or low FODMAP diet? Like, it was in my bowel feeling like my organs were gonna burst out of my stomach in the emergency room. Never get asked anything about diet. Like, they just send you on your way, give you some painkillers, and it's just like this never-ending cycle. So that was my first encounter with something like that, when I actually did cure myself through food. And I've had so many bad experiences with finding out information about the pill and period health. I've done a bit of my own learning over the years, like gone to different conferences and like seminars and things like that with health leaders. I went to one from Dr. Libby, and she was just saying some really interesting stuff. Like, a girl, like, I started the pill when I was 15, and that happens to so many girls. Like, they'll start to get acne or something, or have a bit of a painful period, and that's because the progesterone hasn't caught up yet, so it's actually just part of growing up. So because of a tiny issue, they'll be like, oh, I put you on the pill to fix it. I didn't even know until like 2 years ago. I'm 26 now, and I've been off the pill for just over a year, almost a year and a half maybe. And I didn't even know until right at the end that the bleed wasn't even your real period. So I was on it for 10 years and I didn't even know that. And I didn't know that the pill actually changes your brain and changes who you're attracted to when you're on the pill, meaning that you can attract relationships that aren't even meant for you. And I went to different doctors, like, because my pain was so bad, I would usually take the pill straight for about 3 months and then just get it, have the bleed every 3 months instead of every month. And I asked a couple different doctors, like, oh, is that okay that I only do it every 3 months instead of every month? And some would be like, oh, I don't know. And then some would be like, oh, no, you shouldn't. And then some are like, yeah, that's absolutely fine. And everyone had different answers. Like, no one knows what's going on. So of course my level of frustration from the experiences I've had in my life would lead me to that conclusion when they just don't ask anything. And it's not necessarily their fault. Like, I've watched all the plant-based documentaries and stuff, and they're just not taught. So I have sympathy for them. Like, they'll go into the medical field being like, oh, I want to help people. I want to be able to contribute towards society. So of course they have good intentions, but it's just the way the system is set up. Like, we all just feed into the pharmaceutical companies. And I just wanted to bring this up this time because I did have a good experience. I went back to the doctor for another test and then went back to get the results. And then this doctor, I asked for a new one, first time ever, because the results didn't show up with anything. And he was like, oh, after there was no other answer, oh, maybe have you considered going to a nutritionist? And I was like, oh, I am one. And we just started laughing. But I went home and I was like, oh my God, that's like the first time a doctor or someone with modern or traditional healthcare has like suggested something about food, like fixing the source of the problem. So that just makes me so happy. I'm like, oh my God, he actually suggested healing through food. So I just wanted to share that little win I had. And as I said, it all is based on the experiences we've had in our life. I usually go down the naturopath route and always recommend that. But I do have a friend who said she went to a naturopath and got recommended $500 or $600 worth of supplements and nothing worked. So of course her view on naturopaths would be different to mine, kind of thing. So I just wanted to touch on that is why I have that view on the medical system, just from being let down time and time again. But I have a little bit of hope after seeing that last doctor. That is a big step in the right direction. And I made sure to tell him as well. It's like, you were better than the last few doctors I've seen, so thank you. Now, I'm just going to be reading the points from this article I found online because it breaks everything down really well. So first up, it says, holistic healing of the individual occurs at different energetic levels. These are the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual levels. And something else that I've been going through recently as well is diving deep into trauma work. And I'm not a trauma specialist. I'm not like trained to help people through that, like a counselor or a psychologist or psychiatrist. But what I've been doing is I've taken the last few months. This is one of the reasons I value time freedom so much. It's the one thing I value in my life. I grew up, like, I had three jobs straight out of the bat of school. I had two jobs at school, and then the week school finished to go into Christmas holidays, I started up a third job. I've always worked so hard throughout my teenage years and early 20s doing hospitality. I did 800 people dinners. I moved to the middle of the desert when I was 17 to work at a casino to save for my degree, like literally by myself to another country, to the desert, after I've just grown up in a small town. I think when I was young there was 10 to 12,000 people, so that was a big move. And I had different jobs. At one stage I stayed up for 54 hours doing like work in the restaurant, had a half hour break, worked the night cocktail lounge, then worked in the nightclub, and then walked all the way home by myself, got in my chef's uniform, had a bowl of cereal, walked all the way into town because I didn't have a car, to do 5 a.m. to 10 a.m. breakfast shift, and then walked all the way home, and then would sleep for like 3 hours and then get up and start all again. So that's what my life was like in my younger years, and I feel like that's really affected my energy now. Like I've just never quite recovered from it. But since I've had more space in my day and more time freedom, it's given me like the mental capacity to dive really deep into things and like really think about your goals. And I don't know, like when you have space, that's when you think about your best ideas instead of just like waking up and you're busy all day every day till the moment you go to sleep. I love the serenity of the lifestyle I have now and just having more balance. So I've been doing lots of trauma work. Like I worked through a lot of the stuff from my last relationship and tried to make sure I didn't bring that into my new relationship. Of course, some of it, like you can't fix it straight off the bat. It's an ongoing process with how you deal with conflict and your self-worth after you've been like knocked down so many times. Like it's always, there's more, always more improvements to be made. But I contacted the person I used to live with at the last house after I moved out and just wrote like a big letter on the computer, getting everything off my chest and like made sure to proofread and everything before sending. And then this week I actually contacted another family member from stuff that happened in my childhood, and I never planned on doing that. I never thought I would need to, but the weight that has been lifted off my shoulders, like we bury so much stuff and carry it around with us, and that affects our energy levels. Like we can't think straight because we have all these memories or anger that we're holding on to, or confusion or frustration. So yeah, I wrote it all down, proofread it again, and I think that's a good way to get things across, because having a conversation with someone, people will interrupt each other, or the argument could get heated, or you might forget what you need to say if you get like nervous trying to stand up for yourself. So yeah, after I did that, I feel like that was such a huge piece of the puzzle as well. Like I just feel so light, so clear-headed, the weight is off my shoulders, and it's really, really showing me how much our mental health affects our physical energy. So let's go through the different metaphysical beliefs around pain. I'll go through different body parts and read out what it says. So headaches. Pain always indicates separation of some sort from something. Usually we say separation from what is the truth. The greater the pain, the more important that something is. So depending on which part of the head is afflicted, the meaning changes. The vertex. The top of the head is associated with our connection to the universe or God. Pain here is associated with separation from that high power. It is also associated with the kidneys, and the emotion is fear. Both the gallbladder and urinary bladder channels traverse the top of the head. The gallbladder is associated with courage, and the urinary bladder, through its associate with the kidneys, is associated with fear. The top of the head is used extensively to calm the spirit in Chinese medicine. The forehead is associated with the third eye, both in chakra theory and traditional Chinese medicine theory. The third eye is associated with introspection and illumination of your own inner being. So this could refer to not only the eyes that look outward, but eyes that look inward, and is indicated in some emotional disorders. The sides of your head are associated with courage, especially courage to face your world. Migraine headaches, usually located in the front quadrants, right or left, indicates a separation from your world. The involvement of eyes and the migraines indicate not only an unwillingness to look without, but to look within. Most migraine sufferers report not only severe pain behind the eye, but also acute sensitivity to light. The gallbladder channel is associated with courage. The small intestine channel is involved with deriving nourishment from the world. And the small intestine channel is connected to the heart, where the emotion is joy and mind is located. Lack of joy with oneself is strongly indicated by pain in this area. The back of your head represents your past. Some say also this is an area of spirituality. Pain here represents something in your past that is not complete and remains unforgiven. The back of the head is traversed by the gallbladder channel and urinary bladder channels, indicating anger born of fear. The back of the head is thought to be the seat of spiritual experiences. The only way to see them through is inner sight. Pain in the back of the head represents an unwillingness to look deep within for the source of light and truth. Now, moving on to back. The spine represents the support you think you have in life and your alignment with those supported forces. A curved spine or scoliosis represents a misalignment with life, and spasms represent an unwillingness to accept the support that is there. Your shoulders represent burdens and responsibilities. Frozen shoulder, for example, represents a complete unwillingness to shoulder your responsibilities in life. Pain and dysfunction to varying degrees represents unwillingness to be responsible, and moving forward sometimes requires that you put your shoulder to the wheel to overcome inertia. Back problems generally represent conflict between the urge to move forward and the inertia of an unforgiven past that holds us back. This tension very often separates us from both, and the pain is the result. Your mid-back is the link between the shoulder and lower back and can be a weak link. As we firm up our shoulders and become willing to take on the responsibilities of life, and we've gathered around us the financial and emotional support we need, something sneaks up and stabs us in the back. This is a blind spot. Not only can we not see it, but it is difficult to reach. The weak leg crumbles, and blockages here affect the entire body and can stop you dead in your tracks. The spleen represents worry or overthinking, and the liver represents anger or base emotions. Both of these can sabotage even the best laid plans. The mid-back represents guilt and stuck in the past. Our lower back represents support financially, emotionally, and the support of family and friends, or the God or universe. The kidneys are located in this area, and kidney dysfunction results in fear, fright, or phobias. A sore lower back may indicate that we've taken more than we think we can handle, and we may need to lighten the load. Chronic lower backache, though not associated with any trauma, is the one with the metaphysical application. So in short, low back pain generally refers to lack of trust in the universe to protect and support, and fear of money is indicated. The sacrum is the seat of self-pity. There is a fear of asking for help. One would rather sit and feel sorry for oneself than get off one's ass and do something. Moving on to the legs. Our hips represent decisions in life, especially decisions about moving forward. Pain in the hips is a sign of being stuck, unable to make a decision or see clearly what is needed to be done next. The process of walking requires that we first thrust the hips forward and the legs follow. This is actually an act of faith on our part, since we're quite literally initiating a fall to the ground and trusting that our legs will save us. The gallbladder channel traverses the hip, which again represents courage and confidence to move forward. Hip problems can represent fear of going forward with major decisions, and it can also represent the idea that the next step in your life is important. Pain or discomfort advises you to slow down or stop, look around, buy a map, or ask for some directions. Our thighs are the link between the hips and decisions, and the knees, pride. Very often when we have made a decision to take the next step, pride gets in the way. What if I look stupid? What if it's not right? What if it doesn't work out? Our knees lock up or turn to jelly, and we are prevented from moving forward. The pain that begins in the hips and shoots down the thigh is the separation from our desire and decision to move forward, and our fear of falling flat on our ass. Thigh problems also can represent retaining childhood trauma. Our knees represent pride. In spiritual practice, it is suggested that one must go down before one can rise up. In practice, every time we move forward in life or approach change, we approach the unknown. We may feel vulnerable or unsure. We may stand still, stiff-kneed, resisting the winds of change. It is interesting to note that stiff, sore knees are a symptom of kidney deficiency whose emotion is fear. Rather than admit our fear, we resist it until it overwhelms us. While knees represent pride, and it is said that pride goes before the fall, knees can also represent humility, which is the wisdom to be yielding on the face of change. So in short, knee problems may be said to indicate being stuck in the ego, too proud to bend. Our shins also represent another weak link. Although the shins are mostly bone, the hardest substance in the body, they are quite sensitive and brittle. A slight whack on the shins is not only painful, it weakens the entire body and stops it cold. When we have organized ourselves to move forward, to take the next step towards the goal we have set, and are in the process of taking it, something comes along and and send you tumbling. It is something we trip over because we don't see it, even though it is right there in front of us. Very often what trips us up is the loss of which we haven't properly grieved. Moving forward always means something gets left behind. Moving forward is often marked by a jumble of emotional responses which need to be sorted out, especially if we are resisting it. Anchors represent flexibility, which is important as one navigates the twists and turns of life. Stiff, painful anchors means that change is difficult for you. Maybe you are one who digs in your heels and resists moving forward. This is actually crazy, because I have been having, so what was the last one? Shins and ankles. This is so weird. One of the reasons I went to the doctor is because I have like, oh my god, I'm like getting emotional. It's just so weird and so interesting. And that's why I just like sharing this stuff to the world, like the stuff that people don't usually think of. So one of the reasons I went to the doctor is because I have like extreme pain in my shins and ankles. And when I get my time of month, most people get it in their hips and lower back, and I get a little bit of pain there. But my pain is from the middle of my shin going outwards. So it's been so extreme. Some days I take 8 to 10 painkillers a day. I had to get a prescription for some really strong ones. And I had to go back to the doctor because my period wasn't even coming up. And this has happened the last 2 months. Like usually, obviously you get pain the week before or about like 4 days before, but it was happening like 2.5 weeks out or 2 weeks out, and just having extreme bone pain. And I'm like, why do I have sore bones? I'm 26 and it's unbearable, to the point like I'll be laying there. I've even cried a few times at night over the last couple of weeks and just taking so many painkillers. And when you look at this, it's like emotional responses that need to be sorted out, resisting change, grieving something that we have lost, like we haven't properly grieved something. And obviously I went through a lot in the last year and last few years. So it's like the healing journey is never ending kind of thing, even though I've done so much work, there's always more to do. So honestly, whatever you're going through, if you have some kind of pain in your body, I feel like I get it all over the place. Like my neck is always completely crammed up. And I was told when I got an energetic scan a while ago that if I don't learn to stand up for myself in my last relationship, that can actually develop thyroid problems in the future because it's related to your throat. Like I just find all this stuff so interesting because people don't even know about it. It's like all the stuff we don't see. So if there's no physical, practical answer to whatever you're going through, look into things like this, the spiritual side. So the more, back to ankles, the more life forces change upon you, the deeper you dig in. A broken ankle is a good sign to develop some flexibility in your life. Ankles represent mobility and direction. Our feet represent our connection with Mother Earth. Sore, swollen, numb, or painful feet represent the state of our relationship with our mother. Mother Earth and our base energies. While it is our legs that carry us forward into life, it is the feet that actually make contact with the ground and can stop any advance, or at least make it difficult. In modern society, with its asphalt, concrete, and high rises, we lose touch with the earth and its energies. This may be reflected in our relationship to the one who gave birth to us. Separation can cause real pain. All the leg yin and yang channels meet and flow into each other in the toes. This is an area of high energy and strong effect on the body. This is an area where strong energies are in transition, so our contact with Mother Earth and our base energies is always ambivalent. We want to draw closer to that love, but at the same time move away on our own course. The feet often store toxic energies, as often to do with grief or resentments, as far away from the heart as possible. This means in the feet. Often these are issues that go all the way back to childhood. Lacking the tools to effectively release grief or resentment, the body stores it like it stores fat. Over time, more and more toxic energies are stored here and fill up the receptacle. In many cases, the entire leg can become involved and the waste starts leaking back into the system. This is a very serious situation that can lead to amputations, blood disorders, and even death, as the body struggles to protect the heart. Metaphysically, it becomes clear that the space you are standing in is painful. The key is to move on. Stop dwelling on the past, release or transform whatever it is that keeps you emotionally standing still. Feet represent our understanding of ourselves, of life and others, and toes represent minor details of the future. Another little thing I just wanted to add into this, I was gonna ask her if I could talk about it, but I just won't name names. But I met up with a friend for lunch recently and we hadn't caught up since last year. I'm so grateful for my friends, honestly. Like, all my friends are so understanding. I just like don't keep in contact with people that often. Quite often I'm just sitting in my own little bubble, like working away, chipping away at things in my business and like just in my own world. And then I don't like socialize that often. Like I'll see a friend like once every few weeks, or like go for a walk or meet up for a coffee or something. But this year it's really been head down between the show and launching the app and now launching the one-to-ones, all of that kind of stuff. So I hadn't even seen her for so long. But all my friends, like whenever we hang out, even if they're in another country, I haven't seen them for years, it's just the same as when I last saw them. So I'm very grateful for that. But I went out for lunch with my friend, and she's very into holistic health as well. And unfortunately, one of her sisters is on her deathbed from an illness, which is very tragic. But what was interesting is that she's got two sisters, and they both had a bit of a rough childhood. The sister that drank all the green juice, did all the exercise and yoga, and ate really healthy and was in shape, this is the one that is not going to make it. And the sister who drinks all the time, parties all the time, smokes, doesn't care about her diet or exercise or being healthy at all, she's perfectly fine. The only difference between them is the one who has the illness has not forgiven what's happened in the past. Every day she holds on to the anger and resentment, even though she's around in her 40s or 50s, which is still a very young age to go. So for all that time, she's held on to the anger and hasn't forgiven what's happened. And the sister who has an unhealthy diet or lifestyle has mentally let it go and moved on and has made peace with her past. So I just find this stuff so interesting, and that is another big reason I'm going through this big trauma healing journey myself, because it literally affects our daily energy. Like I've noticed so much more clarity, so much more focus, energy going into the nighttime. It really affects our body. And I've been thinking about all the comments people leave others online as well. Like when you see someone doing better than you, or they're successful in business, or they're looking amazing and they're taking really good care of their body, some people either comment on this stuff like, oh my god, she's too muscly and it's disgusting, or like, girl shouldn't lift weights, or she has, I've seen this comment the other day, like, she has a gross butt, I don't like her butt. And they'll just find literally anything to bring down that person. The difference between me and them is I screenshot it, I go to the office works, I print off photos of them and I put them on my wall so I can stare at them every day and use them as motivation and inspiration and raise the glass ceiling of what I think is possible. So think about what that does to your inside when you look at these people and you think, oh my god, they're doing amazing, they're such an inspiration to me, like they're really paving the way and like showing me what I can achieve for myself. Or you see these people, whoever it is that you see popping up online, and you're like, oh, well, blah, 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 and you just start thinking of all these negative things. That is bringing down your own energy, and that is creating disease in your own body. So choose what path you want to take. Next up is the throat. Our throat represents our will and our ability to communicate both with others and with ourselves. Sore throats, lumps in the throat, tumors all represent difficulties in saying what we want to say. The throat is another one of those weak links that can seduce or sabotage you from your path. The throat is the channel between the head and the heart. In Chinese medicine, it is said that the heart houses the mind, especially in its connection with the emotion of joy and the expression of love for ourselves and for others. Have you ever had a great idea, gotten your body motivated, put your heart into it, only to say something completely stupid which makes a mess of things? Have you ever felt the urge to say something complimentary and suppressed it? Have you ever blurted out something that just seemed to bypass the brain? How often does a careless or ill-chosen word create havoc in your life? Where this comes from is all the things you have not said over the years that get stuck in the throat, needing to get out, and out they come one way or the other. All emotions are designed to be expressed, even the ones we judge to be negative, and especially the ones we judge to be positive. The throat is an avenue of expression and a channel of creativity. Problems indicate an inability to speak up for oneself, swallowed anger, stifled creativity, and a refusal to change. Thyroid problems often indicate difficulty in analyzing, digesting, and assimilating the communication between the head and the heart. Another note with saying what you really want to say. When I contacted my family member this week, I feel like I've grown a lot with how to get things across. And one of the things that I'd been really upset about is that I'd never seen how to resolve an issue like an adult until age 26. I've never seen people in my household or my old relationship, if there's an issue, like how to just sit down and be like, oh, well, this upsets me because of this. And like, oh, well, my side is this, so what can we do about it? Age 26 and I've never seen that demonstrated for me. That is so sad. So what I've been working on is when I'm standing up to people, the childish or mature way to do it would be like, well, you were a fucking bitch to me, blah, blah, blah. And like people just go off and call each other names. That does not get you anywhere. Raising your voice does not get you anywhere. The other person just shuts off and it's not a productive way of resolving things. So the way I opened the conversation was, hey, I know that all this stuff has happened in the past and I'm sorry to bring it up now. I didn't want to ruin your day. And I love our relationship now. Like, I love everything that we have and the ways that you support me. All these things that happened in my childhood have been getting me down, and I've realized how much they're affecting me in my adult life with how I perceive other people, how I perceive myself, my self-confidence, my way of dealing with things, my self-talk. And then I like listed off the things that were really upsetting me that had just been stuck in my mind over the years. And then at the end saying like, sorry again to bring this up to you, I just really had to get it off my chest, and yeah, like just reiterate some positive things about the person again at the end. So it's like a sandwich, I guess, like positive thing. And then like writing things out in a really calm way. And if you write it on your computer, you can like make changes and think if you want to add anything or think about how to word things, and then like finish off with a positive thing. Like, I never want to upset you, I just really have to talk about this, blah, blah, blah. So it's much better than the way I guess I used to like argue, or the way I've seen things demonstrated, like just not productive ways of actually working through conflict. So that was my little take on how I did that. The chest or our breasts represent the feminine principle of nurturing and nourishing the connection with the breath of life as it flows through the lungs. In men, pain or discomfort not associated with any organ or vessel represents a disconnection from the feminine principle. Breast problems represents a denial of the mother feminine principle to nourish the self and nourish others. Cysts or lumps, etc., represent overmothering. Our solar plexus is said to be the seat of the ego and individuation. Some call this the negative ego. In general, this area represents the conflicts in your life. Pain or discomfort in the diaphragm area represent unresolved conflicts. In Chinese medicine, pain in this area indicates anger. The stomach represents digestion, not only of food and physical nutrients, but of new ideas, new ways of doing things, and accepting change of any kind. The stomach is nothing more than a big flexible bag of muscle whose job is to ripen and rot whatever is put into it. That is its job, to break down what is put into a form that the body can deal with. Metaphysically, when we come upon a new idea or a new way of doing things, the process is similar. First, we must swallow the idea, either whole or in handy bite-sized morsels, break it down into a form we can handle, and finally absorb that which we need to nourish ourselves. In the same way that a bad diet poisons the body, toxic ideas, suppressed emotions, and resistance to change can have a poisoning effect. In traditional Chinese medicine, long-standing emotional disharmony is seen as a primary cause of disease. Strengthening the spleen or stomach, which between them are responsible for transforming food and water into qi and transporting it throughout the body, is seen as a key strategy to deal with almost any disease. We need to nourish ourselves every day, just as we eat nourishing foods. Just as the physical body needs nourishment to grow and carry on its day-to-day activities, so do the emotional, mental, and spiritual bodies. Metaphysically, wellness is not accomplished by a change in diet alone. The stomach holds nourishment and digests ideas, so problems indicate dread, fear of the new, and an inability to assimilate the new. So that is that for the metaphysical beliefs in the article. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe, or if you're listening on the podcast, don't forget to follow the channel so you can stay up to date with more episodes. And don't forget, if you're interested in nutrition mentorship, I'll put all the links to that below, or my plant-powered recipe app, which I just launched a couple of months ago as well, and I'm continuing to grow. So once again, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you found this jam-packed, full of value, and I hope you learned something new, and I hope you start to implement some change in your life. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next week.